Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house this morning as we're privileged to gather together in the Lord's house on this third Sunday of the season that we call Eastertide as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to encourage everyone, if you will, please to sign the registration pad that is there in your pew. Signing that certainly helps us to kind of keep track of everybody. And in your bulletin, please note that a registration for participation in the next dinner groups that will be going on from May through August is there in your bulletin. If you will please fill out that flyer and place it in the offering plate, or talk to Gail Gentry if you are interested in being a part of the dinner groups this next quarter. Even those of you who participated in the dinner groups of this last quarter, please also fill out a new form, because Gail will use those to kind of shuffle everybody around and get everybody reoriented into different groups so that we can get to know more folks in the fellowship of the church. The deadline for that registration is next Sunday, the 30th of April. Men, there's also in the bulletin an RSVP for you to fill out if you would like to attend the men's April fellowship. It'll be this Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. Filling out that sheet helps us understand how many men plan to attend so we can make sure that the supper is squared up in a good way. Ladies, please be aware of the Church Women United meeting on May the 5th and the CWF steering meeting, which will be on the 8th of May. Any family with graduating seniors, please convey graduation information to Carol in the church office so your graduates can be recognized on Sunday, the 21st of May. And the deadline for information to Carol is tomorrow, Monday, the 24th of April, so she can get together a brochure that will go into the newsletter as well as into the bulletin. Also, we need volunteers to sort bakery goods donations from Price Chopper that are used for our food pantry and beyond. And products will be delivered to the church kitchen for sorting at about 12:30, the third Wednesday of each month. And persons interested, please talk with David Tarver. Also, elders, deacons, and committee chairpersons, please be reminded that our April board meeting is today. It's immediately after the 11 o'clock service in the upper room classroom. We also want to welcome, once again, Jonathan Dorham, as he's taking Ryan's place this morning as our music director, and as he welcomes us with our call to worship. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Good morning. It's good to be back. Please stand and join me in our call to worship today. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For in our union with Christ, He has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world.
Let us praise God for His glorious grace, for the free gift He gave us in His dear Son.
For by the death of Christ we are set free, that is, our sins are forgiven.
How great is the grace of God, which He gave us in such large measure. Our opening hymn is Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 234. Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways, from pole to pole that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, those wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
May we pray. Merciful and loving God, we give thanks for the privilege to honor you with worship and praise this Lord's Day morning. As the early followers of Christ recognize his resurrected presence during that first season of Eastertide, may we also, through the testimony of Scripture, embrace Christ as the one true Messiah. For in doing so, Paul tells us in Galatians 3, verse 25, that in Christ Jesus, we are all sons and daughters of our Creator God. And this indeed is through faith. For these truths, we give you thanks, O God, as we also offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, and is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please take a moment to greet one another, please. May our children please come forward for the children's message, please.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. I heard Pastor say good morning. I didn't hear anybody else say good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Okay, I have a question for you this morning. Have you ever laughed so hard that your sides hurt? Yeah, you get silly stuff and it just goes and it gets so silly and you can't stop laughing. Need tissue over here, baby. Or have you ever been so mad that you just want to stomp your feet? Just stomp your feet. Because you're mad? Yeah. Yeah. I bet. Or sometimes we just feel silly. Do you feel silly sometimes? I see you feel silly sometimes. This is all the emotions that we have. And sometimes, I'm glad someone agrees with me. Sometimes we get just really, really, really mad, or sometimes we get frustrated because things aren't going the way we want them to. We get sad. So, okay, let's not do that, please. Thank you. But all of this stuff, we can make it all better if we do what? What can we do to make it better when we're feeling very emotional? We can pray, can't we? As a matter of fact, the Bible says we should bring everything to God in prayer. You know, God really likes it when he hears from us. He loves to talk to us. He loves it when we talk to him. We know we talk to him when we're happy. We thank him for things, don't we? We thank him for our food. And we thank him for parents and the things that make us happy. But sometimes we forget to pray to God when things are making us sad or they're making us angry. But we need to do that too. We need to pray to God then too. He can help make it better. As a matter of fact, do you know what it says in the Bible? It says that if we pray to God for everything, that he will give us peace, a peace that we don't even understand. It's so big. God is so big, and he can give us so much peace we don't even understand it. We just have to pray about everything. So, shall we pray about something right now? Should we have a prayer? Yeah? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sunshine today. We thank you for these children in this church. We ask that you be with us as we learn and we worship. Please help us take your love and your grace out into the world with us each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go quietly, please. Quietly.
It's again a good day to be in the Lord's house and to lift up prayers and praises before our Creator's presence. word of praise from the patient's family as Jonathan, our son, and our daughter-in-law, Natalie, welcomed into the world this past Thursday, the 20th of April, Benedict Michael Patience. The fun thing for us is that I think he's going to be Benny or Ben or something like that. Our daughter-in-law loves these long, long names. Benedict. Benny, he is the first child to carry the patient's name from my father to a fourth generation. And so we're excited about that because, you know, I was the only one who had a son. And so Jonathan, having a son, you know, at least we carry my father's lineage a little further on. And so we're kind of excited about that. Plus, you know, when you got a grandson, you also get to make Pinewood Derby cars. So we're looking forward to putting his cars in the case along with mine and our Jonathan's. But anyway, glad everything is going well. Everybody's home and doing well. We want to lift up Catherine O'Neill as she is at Tiffany Springs Rehabilitation. Also Val Stringer as she has moved to the Grand Royale, a kind of retirement situation for Val. I have her address and a room number and phone number. If anybody is interested in going to see Val, I'd be happy to pass that information on to you all. Also, we want to lift up Larry Pitts. He normally attends the 8:30 service and was here this morning. He is going to KU for surgery to have a plate removed from his right jaw and to also look at a plate that is installed in his arm. All that's taking place this Wednesday at the KU Medical Center. Jerry and Betty, we're delighted both of you are here this morning, and we keep you in prayer, as well as Ron and Karen Kennedy, as Ron is undergoing radiation treatments for cancer. Susan Hanks, as she continues her rehabilitation at home. And we lift up in Psalm and Glenn Bartley's family, Psalm's son, Johnny Sturwalt. I mentioned last week that he was dealing with paralysis from the neck down, and he is moving to a rehabilitation center in Denver, Colorado. Psalm, it's good to see you here this morning, and we just keep all of you in prayer through this journey. And certainly there's others that we've been lifting up for some time, but may we also bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Gracious and holy God, we express our thanks for the privilege to worship your name on this Lord's Day, and to experience the fullness of support through our fellowship with one another and through the guidance of your word and the Holy Spirit. We've lifted up the names of people dear to us, knowing with confidence that each individual and family is safe in your loving care. We also offer thanks for your comfort, assurance, and guidance for the many across the world's landscape who are very much in need of your great comfort and assurance. Yet, even as we know we will face difficulties in this fallible world, we also know that the great victory is already won through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. On this third Sunday of this season we call Eastertide, we remember how Christ's followers in fellowship with him and with one another began to fully recognize that he was truly the living Savior and Messiah, whom he had always claimed to be. As each of us embrace the stories of that first Eastertide revealed in the Gospels, may we also personally embrace the truth for ourselves that Christ is indeed Savior and Messiah for all who seek him. For as the Apostle John testifies in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. So may we each personally embrace this truth for ourselves. For Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 25, that in Christ Jesus, we are all the children of God through faith. We give thanks in Christ's name as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It's good to be back here. I'm glad y'all haven't gotten tired of me yet, because I really enjoy coming to this place. I'm going to sing I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. And there's one line I want to point out. It says, in him there is no darkness at all. And I feel like we can become overwhelmed with all the news of stuff going on in the world. I can feel like there's darkness all around. But this is saying, I want to walk as a child of the light where there is no darkness.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God set the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I want to see the brightness of God. I want to look at Jesus. Clear sun of righteousness, shine on my path and show me the way to the Father. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. Shine, 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 shine. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine, shine in my heart, Lord. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus.
Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 state, let us then hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we have a great high priest who has gone into the very presence of God, and his name is Jesus, the Son of God. Our high priest is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weakness. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. Let us be brave then and approach God's throne where there is grace, There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. As we gather at the Lord's table this morning, we're reminded in this text from the book of Hebrews of the great empathy that Christ has for us in our human predicament. For he journeyed in his life as one of us, yet we are also reminded of the abundant grace of God in Christ our Lord, recognizing that when all is said and done, we will be saved by God's wonderful grace and mercy. For we are God's children whom he loves. May we experience comfort and hope as we prepare our hearts to share in the Lord's Supper, as we sing our communion hymn this morning, Because He Lives. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3, please, of hymn number 562.
God sent his Son, they call him Jesus. He came to prove, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross a river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Gail leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this time that we can come together as a family and be around your table. This is a table of love, great sacrifice that was poured out for us. And as we take this bread and drink this wine, may we remember what was done for us and the future that we have because of it. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. bountiful rains we've received in recent days are indeed a free gift. Soil and plants are blessed as we watch the renewal of life as the spring season unfolds. It's all a free gift that costs us nothing. As we consider our faith journey, we are similarly aware of the free gift of life eternal that we have received through the abundant grace of God. Thus, as Mary offers a word of prayer, may we also willingly give freely and thanksgiving for all that God has done for us as we receive this morning's tithes and offerings.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are very thankful for all the blessings that you have provided for us. As we come to offer our tithes and offerings, we wish to help our church and others that are in need. Thank you for the gifts and to the givers for all this generosity. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. As we are continuing this series of messages about this season we call Eastertide, again, this is that 40-day time period from which Jesus had risen from the dead, but before he ascends into heaven, and so he has this kind of quasi-spiritual as well as physical dimension about himself that indeed must have been quite remarkable for his followers. But here we are looking today at the story of that walk to Emmaus. It is Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. It's a lengthy text, but we really need to hear the entire story to kind of get the full grasp of what is taking place here. So with verse 13, on that same day, which of course was Easter Sunday morning, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. And as they talked and discussed, Jesus himself drew near and walked along with them. They saw him, but somehow did not recognize him. Now, there's a lot of speculation about why these two followers of Christ did not necessarily recognize Jesus as he's walking with them. It's all speculation, but one of the concepts that's out there is the notion that somehow there was some sort of spiritual intervention going on here where Christ's presence is somehow veiled, if you will, so that these two followers of Jesus would focus their attention on what Jesus says rather than on his physical presence being there. Because you can imagine, if they had really recognized who Christ was in that moment, they would have been so focused on, oh, you're here, that they would have lost sight as to what he was trying to convey to them through the scriptures and through prophecy. And yet that's one of the key aspects of what's being explored here in this particular story. That all is speculation, but we might want to kind of hang our hat on that idea, because it is true that the text here is focusing on attention on the fact that here in this initial walk to Emmaus, these two who knew Jesus were not recognizing him. That for sure is indeed a fact. But as the text goes on, verse 17, Jesus said to them, "What are you talking about to each other as you walk along?" Then the text says, they stood still with sad faces. You can imagine them just kind of walking along. And then all of a sudden, when Jesus asked that question, he just kind of stopped. They just stopped dead in his tracks. It's like, don't you know? Surely you know what's going on. I mean, you're coming from Jerusalem just like we are. And so surely you have heard. They stood there with sad faces. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have been happening there these last few days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth," they answered. "This man was a prophet and was considered by God and by all the people to be powerful in everything he said and did. Our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified." So we know the very fact that they state our chief priests, they indeed are Jewish men. They make that acknowledgement, our own leaders, you know, sentenced him to this. And notice how even the form of death for Jesus is also mentioned in the text, that he was what? Crucified. It goes to show just how brutal this form of death was, as we certainly explored that during our Lenten suppers during the Lenten season, correct? For those of you that attended those. And as the text continues, we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free. So see, they're still looking for what? A king of kings, to be a political king to free them from this authority of the Roman Empire over them. Besides all that, this is now the third day since it happened. Some of the women of our group surprised us. They went at dawn to the tomb, but could not find his body. They came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who had told them that he is alive. Some of our group went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women had said, but they did not see him. Notice here that the story about Mary Magdalene and, of course, the other Mary, which we described last week, that story is already known and circulating among the followers of Jesus. They say, well, the women went there, and the body was gone. But, of course, some of the disciples went there. Of course, we're talking about, as we did last week, who? Simon, Peter, and John. Notice how they discount the authority of the women. Because in this time period, a woman's word was not considered to be believable. Imagine that. That's a terrible way to perceive things. But again, that what they say is, well, they're saying a couple of the apostles went, but they didn't see Jesus. In other words, so we're still speculating about whether or not he is risen, even though the women would have said, well, we saw him, we're not going to believe you. See, that's what's going on. That's the nuance of what's happening here. And then Jesus says to them in verse 25, how foolish you are, how slow you are to believe everything the prophets said. Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in all the scriptures, beginning with the books of Moses and the writings of the prophets. In other words, Jesus fulfilled all of those prophetic messages about the Messiah, and Jesus goes into detail about every one of them as they continue to walk along. That is incredible depth of comprehension about the prophetic word, is it not? Would not we be so blessed if we knew all of those details for ourselves? And as they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they held him back, saying, stay with us. The day is almost over. It's getting dark. This was the time period when if you traveled in darkness, you were taking your own life into a risky situation. And these two Jewish men are saying to this fellow traveler, please, no, don't go on. Stay with us. We welcome you to spend the night with us. And by the way, we'll have you join us for supper, if you will. And so he went in to stay with them. As he sat down to eat with them, took the bread and said the blessing. And then he broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. But then he disappeared from their sight. Imagine that. They recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread. So like the veil is taken off. But then what happens? He literally just disappears. Boy, how would you feel if that happened to a guest in your house? Now, you may know some relatives who kind of maybe wish they might disappear. But imagine this happening as they realize that this is indeed Jesus the Christ. Now, what is also remarkable is that the text says they got up at once. In other words, they didn't even bother to finish the meal. And they ran back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 disciples gathered together with the others, and they said to them, the Lord is risen indeed. He appeared to Simon. So that tells you who, of course, was the other person. We know that Cleopas was the other. And of course, the two then explained to them what had happened on the road and how they had recognized the Lord when the bread was broken. May we pray. Merciful and loving God, as Scripture and fellowship opened the minds and hearts of the first followers of Christ to believe that he was indeed the risen Messiah, we pray that your word and our fellowship in faith will help each of us to truly realize that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and our Savior. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Story that goes back a few years. This was from Associated Press. Tuesday, the 5th of April, back in 2005, the article stated, Ming Quan Chen was written off after vanishing Friday night while making a delivery for Happy Dragon Restaurant at a high-rise apartment building. As police conducted a massive search and days passed, speculation grew that the 35-year-old Chen was the victim of armed bandits. But more than 3 days later, the delivery man emerged, thirsty and with a remarkable tale of survival. He had been stuck by himself between floors in an elevator the entire time without food or water, having made his last delivery just before the elevator malfunctioned. Now, wouldn't it have helped him if the elevator had broke down before he made the delivery? Oh, bless his heart, right? It was 80 hours later that he was removed from the elevator by firefighters responding to a security officer's call for help from the high-rise. One thing about it also, there must have not been much traffic in that particular part of the building. Chen, an undocumented immigrant from southeastern China who spoke only mostly Mandarin, spoke through an interpreter upon his rescue, "Thanks for everyone caring about me. I'm fine now." Now imagine yourself being stuck in an elevator between a couple of floors, feeling like you're neither here nor there, belonging in no place except what appears to be kind of like an oblivion. Have any of you ever been stuck in such a situation? I have. I was stuck in a bathroom up on the third floor in a part of our church building in Lincoln, Nebraska on a Friday afternoon, realizing that our church secretary would be leaving in a short period of time. And as I went to the door and I turned the door handle with the notion of thinking I was going to pull the door to open it, it all fell out. And there I was holding a door handle. And the window on the third level was only about yay wide and about this tall. And I thought, it's Friday. Carrie and Jonathan were still in Kansas. They weren't expected to be there till Sunday morning. This is Friday. I'm by myself. No one's going to be in the building. What am I to do? What would you do? Thank goodness it was a time when there was this thing called a mobile phone, and I had one on me. Don't we wish Mr. Chen had a mobile phone, right? But when it comes to our spiritual journey, sometimes we feel like we are living between two planes of existence, living in the earthly world while struggling to envision the spiritual. Imagine how these two followers of Jesus, Simon and Cleopas, here in Luke chapter 24, felt as they pondered the death of their beloved rabbi, but yet at the same time struggled to try to find some sense of spiritual meaning in what was taking place. On that Sunday evening, they made that 7-mile walk to Emmaus as the sun was setting, and they were caught up in the death and burial of our Lord that previous Friday, caught between two floors, the earthly and the spiritual. They were engulfed in the worldly matters that filled them with depression and grief, yet also, on a hint of the spiritual, they must have been wondering if anything that Jesus had said had any possibility of coming true on that spiritual side. Then comes along a stranger who tarries with them to Emmaus, and it was a common practice to accept the company of fellow travelers, because it was never a good idea in this time period to travel alone. There was indeed safety in numbers. As Jesus sensed their despair over all these worldly troubles, he called on them to remember the spiritual promises that were made through the prophetic word of so many of the Old Testament texts. And what Jesus was attempting to do was to get them unstuck, to get them out of the stuck elevator. They're stuck in the earthly, and they're having difficulty comprehending and embracing the spiritual. Are they not? And so he goes on and tells them, was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then to enter his glory? And then Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in all the scriptures, beginning with the books of Moses and the writings of all the prophets. Now, it takes a while to walk 7 miles. If even you walk a 20-minute mile, you know you're going to be out there on the dusty little pathway for quite a while. Imagine Jesus just telling them one prophetic message after another, after another, after another. There are so many of them. And yet imagine that he knew all of these prophecies and promises by heart. Knew them within his heart and mind. You know, how much assurance we could have if we had that also in our minds and hearts too. And it was an honorable tribute to ask the visiting guests to break the bread and offer thanks. And this is actually what is done, as indeed They gather there together in that room as the guest is welcome to join them. And it is in the breaking of bread that indeed Jesus is known to be who? The one and only true Messiah. So, you know, for you and me, there is often that occasion in which we feel stuck, don't we? We feel stuck between that which is of the earthly realm, struggling with our difficulties, and yet striving to understand the spiritual. And how is it that we can recognize the true risen Christ? It is in our understanding of the prophetic word of Scripture. It is in fellowship with one another, and it is in the breaking of bread, which of course for us is what? The Lord's Supper. And as we embrace all of these disciplines, we can affirm for ourselves that Christ is not just a name. He's just not a figure from history. He is indeed the Christ. He is the Messiah who saves us, right? So I ask you, do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is that day that I know you can come forward and accept Christ indeed as your Lord. Maybe today is that day for you to also become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to our hymn of invitation, He Touched Me. We'll sing both verses of number 564, please.
Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Me, and oh, the joys that fill my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. Touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. And a reminder again, board meeting immediately after this service in the upper room for our deacons, elders, and chairpersons. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to experience the fullness of your presence. And for this we give thanks as we journey forward in the new week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
O Christ, the way, the truth, the life, be with us now, we pray. Direct our steps as we go forth to do your will this day. O faithful guide, renew our trust in love that does not fail, and give us strength to work and pray that peace may soon prevail.